So as you know, as a church, we've been going through 1 Thessalonians, and Jim shared on sort of holiness, holy living last week, and he touched on brotherly love, and I'm going to be talking about brotherly love in action today. Before I do, I'll pray. Father God, I just thank you for those testimonies of your goodness. I pray, Lord, may they be encouragement to all of us, Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray, Lord, now you'll speak through me, and give us listening ears, myself included, to hear what you're saying, Lord Jesus. May your spirit just be present amongst us today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul's heart for brotherly love is shown. Verses 11 to 13. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we are to do, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with the saints. And later on in 1 Thessalonians 4:9-10, Paul writes, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But I urge you, brethren, to increase this more and more. Amen. That's brotherly love. And then it's going to be touching us on today, and just using a really famous account in the Bible, which not only, for me, is a really good example of love in action, but also which talks about the power of God being in his presence. And it really resonates what the sisters have shared today. And you know, it's a good reminder about brotherly love, because as a church, our vision is to be a church of impact. If you don't know what church impact means, I'll remind you. So impact is I instructing in God's word. I trust and hope, and we continue to do so. We're a church which doesn't deviate from the truth. We instruct in God's true word. Amen. We mobilize the ministry. That means all of us are serving the Lord as according to his will. P, we are praying in faith. Praying in faith daily. A, adoring the Lord with passionate worship, as we've been doing this morning. C, caring for one another. Now, that's another word for loving one another. Caring for one another, loving one another. And T, telling others about Christ. And as a church, more and more, we want to be making sure we're doing all those facets of impact more and more and more. As the Lord gave Jim the vision of impact in India many years ago. And Paul touches on it here in the Word. The Bible is very clear that God gives instructions about loving, about love. So in John 13, verses 34 to 35, John 13, 34 to 35. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, as I said to the Jews. Where am I going? You cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you shall love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So you've got a clear instruction from the Lord's mouth there, giving us an instruction to love one another. He emphasized this. This is one of his commands that he gave his disciples before he was crucified. He kept emphasizing this message. And in Matthew 25, when it's sort of the parable of the sheep and the goats, the Lord says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick in prison and come to you? And the Lord says, well, every time you fed these people, you were feeding me. It's what's important about these two pieces of scripture I've just talked about, they're linked to the end times, linked for God's judgment. The first one, the guy asked him, how do I seek eternal life? And he gave him those simple command, love me and love your neighbour as yourself. And later on, Jesus talks about the sheep and the goats. For those people who have got eternal life with the Lord, he was saying these things, you bless me. And the other people who are going to have eternal damnation, get away, where were you? Where were you when I was hungry? Where were you when I was thirsty? So there's some clear instructions. There's loads of verses I could share you with, and I encourage you to just do some research yourself about love in action, brotherly love. One more I'll read, which I think is a good one, is in Hebrews 13, verses 1 to 3. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Those have been mistreated since yourselves in the body also. It's clear instructions. If you read Paul's letters again and again and again, he's re-emphasizing this importance of loving your brother, love in action. And, you know, you might think, well, why did he tell us I know it? But I think there's a reason why he kept emphasizing it, because he wants to do it more and more and more. And hopefully we're a church where we are living these principles out. And I think we need to heed Paul's instructions. The Lord urges us to do more and more and more of tangible love in action. And we've heard, you know, testimony of that this morning with brother serving Sophie, going the extra mile. And I think sometimes, you know, love in action, it means action. And I think James, the last verse I'm going to read is James 2, 14 to 17. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but do not give them the things they are needed, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if what does not have works, is dead. And if that little account is because of the emphasis, if a brother or sister's hungry and needing food, yes, say I'll pray for you, but sometimes the Lord wants us to put our love in action and meet the needs. So love in action is a tangible thing. So we're going to, our main passage today is going to be Luke chapter 5. Verses 17 to 24. I love this account, and it's probably very familiar in Sunday schools. You probably read it when you were a kid and may not heard it for a while, but it's such an amazing account. So Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 24. Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went on the housetop and let down his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus perceived their thoughts. He answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise up, walk, that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins? He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he'd been lying on, and departed to his house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. I like that, we've seen strange things today. Hopefully people have seen strange things today amongst us. I'm not talking about me strange looking, but strange things. Strange things are peculiar to the world. They're supernatural. They're alien, aren't they? We should be seeing We should be seeking these things. We should be seeking the Lord, and these things will come follow. Okay? So I hope that testimony sometimes is true of us. I've seen some strange things. I've heard some strange things today. I heard a strange testimony about a baby being healed, about a boy coming back and repenting, giving up drug abuse, alcohol abuse, in gangland. Amazing. So this account is a really, for me, it's a real special account. And if you picture the scene, this Jesus was in his house, everyone was following him, it said, people coming from out of every town, Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem. It talks about a crowd. Doesn't say exact numbers, but in my book, a crowd is a lot of people. I touched on this when I preached on Zacchaeus once, the tree. A crowd is a lot of people. And if you've ever been to football matches or whatever, or even been to the town when it's busy, when you've got a big crowd, you can't even see the people in front of you. It's so busy. So this wasn't probably two or three people sat in a lounge. This was lots and lots of people. And it doesn't give you the background of these people helping this guy who was paralyzed. It doesn't say whether they were his friends. It doesn't say whether they were Christians. But it says they have faith. So at some point on the journey, they decided, they saw this man and said, we want to help you. We know how we can help you. We're not doctors, but we can take you to a person who can bring healing. And this poor man probably didn't have much choice. He probably, oh, go on then, do it. And they took him. It didn't say how long the journey was. But for me, the first thing they could have done was, well, we'll pray for you. And they left the guy. But no, they thought, we're going to take you to the source of your help. We're going to physically take you. And they picked him up. After, I don't know how long it was. I'm assuming it was more than 100 yards, but eventually it could have been quite heavy carrying this man. They didn't say, oh, we'll carry on tomorrow. They took him to this house. And they're probably thinking, oh yeah, I can't wait to see this, get to this house. Jesus will, I'm going to believe Jesus is going to heal him. And they got there and there's this massive crowd. And they probably thought, oh no, what now? Do we wait the next day until the crowd disperses? No, and, you know, they could have done that, probably. They could have justified in their minds, well, we've walked you a long way. You're here now. You can't get much closer than Jesus. You know, eventually he might trickle out and you can grab him then. Just shout loud. But no, they saw the need for this man and they said, we're not going to stop until we've finished our goal to bring you to the source of your help. So those houses have flat roofs and they probably had steps on the outside. So they probably thought, hang on a minute, let's go to the roof, go up there. Yeah, Jesus is really underneath that spot in the middle. We're going to unpick the roof. Can you imagine it? Imagine if someone's our Connect group and it's a bit busy and somebody heard this tap, tap, tap on our roof. I'm sure Rachel was going, what's going on upstairs? And someone, oh, I couldn't get in. Amazing. And just think, put yourselves in the shoes of these men. I don't think it was their house. So they're going to go up the stairs onto the roof. There's probably a sea of people encircling Jesus and he's there teaching them. And they're going to start banging on someone's roof, unpicking the tiles. Their heads are going to be poking through a hole at the top. Can you imagine they're going to be potentially hostile? Get away doing my property. Get away from Jesus. Things might fall, you know. People might have been going, well, they're laughing at them. What are those guys doing up there? So they could have been the subject of hostility, hatred. What are you bothering us for? But they made that sacrifice of going up that roof and started. And you think about it, it was amazing. Banging away these tiles till there was this big hole big enough for this to put him through. So if you think about it, the guy was lying flat. It must have been quite a big hole. They've been smashing away. And then they thought, right, we're going to lower him down. So they got the ropes or whatever they did to lower him down all the way to Jesus. What an amazing account. That is love in action. Going the extra mile. They saw the need and they said, hey, we're going to give you that need. We're not just going to walk you to Jesus, tell you about Jesus. We're going to actually take you to him. And there's a big obstacle coming the way and we're going to get around that obstacle. So that showed love in action and faith in action. And what is amazing is Jesus' response. He saw them lowering this guy down in front of him. And everyone must have just stopped what they're doing and looking up and going, what's going on now? What's Jesus going to say? And he said in verse 20, when he saw their faith, he said to him, your sins are forgiven you. So foremost, Jesus was interested. He was definitely interested in the welfare of that man, but he was interested in this guy's heart, his eternal, his eternal journey, where he was going. And his first thing he did was he wanted to forgive him. So we talked about at the beginning of the service, when you're in Jesus' presence, expect the unexpected. Jesus can do anything. And if you're living in sin, if you're turn your back on God, if you've given up on God, if you've been with him and done a U-turn, or you've never known him, through God's Spirit, he can speak to you and convict your heart straight away and show you that you're a sinner. And I trust if you're here today and you're in that position, seek the Lord and he will speak to you. And God is so gracious, he forgives straight away. He forgives. We don't know what that man done. Lived a sinful life. Said, your sins are forgiven. Like that. The slate wiped clean. Amazing, isn't it? God has forgiven this man. And we sung about it as well. Thank you, God. I was sick and now you've healed me. When you're in the presence of God, God can do anything. If you've got strongholds in your life, like that young boy had, addicted to drugs and alcohol, the name of Jesus can break a stronghold today. If you're sick today, God can give you healing. It said, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. We prayed, we've said to the beginning of this service, but two or three to gather, the Lord's in our midst. I trust that the Lord is in our midst today. And we're going to have some time shortly, we're praying. If you're sick, you need healing, we'll pray for you for a miracle today. If you're in the God's presence, and you need direction, and if you're seeking his will on something, God can speak to you. Amen? God can speak to you today. You're in the presence of the Lord. Yes, it may take prayer and fasting. Today may just be the start of something. But if you're in the presence of the Lord, he can speak to you. If I'm in the presence of my dad for, as I said before, in a room for an hour and a half, and I'm talking to him, he doesn't say, I'll talk to you next week. But during the silence time, he'll talk to me back. he'll engage with me. God is in the presence of me today, and we should be expecting the unexpected. God can do breakthroughs. He can bring healing. How big is our faith today? How big is our faith and love? We see these chaps saw that man, their love was tangible, they took him. And their love for this man, whether they knew him or not, drove him, but also their faith did. How big is your faith today? How big is it? Would you do the same? If it's not as big as those, pray, God will give you it. Ask, seek and knock. God gives good gifts. He doesn't hold good gifts back, does he? If you want, Lord, increase my faith, I admit my faith is low at the moment, please build it up. He will build your faith up. It may give you some circumstances to test your faith, or to see how big it is, but God will never let us down. Amen? How big is your love for God's people today? The fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. How much of those fruit evident in us today, in me? People, the Lord's looking at me and you today. Does he see fruit, abundant fruit on us, in our hearts? And again, if you've allowed this, if you've allow, for whatever reason, to go yourself to go dry and lukewarm, say sorry to God and he'll fill you up. And if you want, pray to God and say, I want to be full of your fruit, Lord. I want to be walking in your Spirit. And watch what he does. How great is your love for your brother today? If we're going to be a church full of impact, we need not to just be saying things in love, we need to be doing things in love. And it shouldn't be a chore, it shouldn't be a compulsion, oh, I've got to do this for that person now. It should be joyous, we're serving the Lord. So I really pray and encourage you that you've been led by the Spirit, your Spirit is guiding your footsteps, and the love of Christ, which you've hopefully received, is being evident and shone into the people amongst you. Because God gets the glory, it builds up his people, and also it's a great testimony to those who don't believe in the Lord. It's a great testimony. Amen. And to conclude, 1 John 3, verse 1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. If you call Lord Jesus your heavenly Father, if you've acknowledged Lord as your heavenly, as your God, he's your daddy, he's your heavenly daddy, he's your father. Amen. And that means you've got a new big family of brothers and sisters. And he wants that love to be evident amongst his bride. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you that we can call you Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you for this account, this true account which happened, Lord, where those men took that man who was unwell, sick, paralyzed to you. They demonstrated through their faith, their love for this man. They went against the crowd as such, Lord. They went through the extra mile. They cut this hole in the roof. They brought him to you, Lord Jesus. You saw their faith. And Lord, you saw a man who was a sinner and you forgave him, Lord Jesus. You gave him a second chance. Thank you, Lord, that through your forgiveness, that man had a future and a hope. Not only in the physical on this earth, but an eternal hope to reign with you, Lord Jesus, in glory. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for each one here, Lord, and listening, that we will have that love evident in our lives, that fruitful love and faith. If it's diminished, Lord, or half full, Lord, I pray you increase our faith and love for you, Lord Jesus, and for our brothers. In Jesus' name. Amen.